Now at 7, a local family's new effort to bring justice to a man who died after police used a taser on him during an arrest. WRAL Investigates is uncovering more about a store owner in Raleigh charged with murdering a customer, why this isn't his first run-in with the law, and the vague threat going viral on social media, scaring some local students enough for parents to keep them at home.
Your weekend forecast has changed. It's trending warmer and drier. I'll show you which night we could see a chance for storms return.
We are following breaking news at 7, a large police presence near a hospital in Oxford. Thank you for joining us. I'm Gerald Owens.
And I'm Deborah Morgan. Mark Boyle is in the WRAL Live Center tracking these new developments. Mark.
Deborah, we called the Granville Health System just getting off the phone. They say that something's happening nearby, and that's the reason the hospital is on lockdown. Here's some video. We can also show it to you on your screen right now. A very large police presence here this evening. All of this breaking within the past 20 minutes. We've not been able to confirm exactly why there's such a large police presence there, but it's happening just about two blocks or so away from that hospital. We're hearing it's off of Prospect Avenue, and investigators certainly trying to get a handle on that situation. Here's Raleigh on the map. We'll zoom in to show you where this is all unfolding there in Granville County. So Prospect Avenue is just a couple of blocks where this red dot is. Draw your attention. And off to the right side, this is where the hospital is. So clearly just about two blocks away, that proximity is the reason that the hospital triggered that lockdown. So everything right now is very secure there. But at this scene, investigators are still arriving there trying to get a handle on whatever they're dealing with. We have several crews on the way to the scene to gather more details. That will be much easier once they are there on the ground in person. So stand by for some breaking details out of Oxford Granville County here this evening. Back to you.
We will stay on top of this. Thank you, Mark.
Right now at 7, justice isn't coming fast enough for the family of a man who died after this confrontation with Raleigh police. This is body camera video showing the moments before and after Darrell Williams was tased three times. He later died. This afternoon, attorneys representing Williams' family held a meeting with the Wake County DA about this case. WRAL's Destiny Patterson was there as attorney Ben Crump called for charges, termination, and more transparency.
Darrell Williams' family and their legal team stood inside these doors today demanding answers and action. They say his death has much wider implications beyond just his family.
It's been nearly 4 months since Darrell Williams died in police custody.
This was a man literally running, fighting for his life.
Now his family's attorneys say the community needs to be protected from what they call lawless law enforcement.
Raleigh Police Department committed a crime against the people of Wake County.
We're not asking for anything extraordinary. We just want simple justice.
They say it needs to be the Wake County District Attorney, Lauren Freeman, who serves it. Freeman told WRAL she met with the family's attorneys to try to be transparent.
That analysis, the taser, the deployment of the taser is the use of force. And so that is what will be evaluated. But we look at the entire incident.
The night of Williams' death, police recordings show he told officers he had a heart condition. Officers continued to use a taser on him. Freeman says her office will decide whether criminal charges will be brought against the officers involved. At this point, she says she's still waiting for the autopsy.
We have reached out to the Office of Chief Medical Examiner. We are hopeful that we may have it some point next month.
In the meantime, though, the family's attorneys say RPD should be more vocal about what happened.
You do have some responsibility to say whether you followed policy or not.
Freeman says her office will determine if there's enough evidence to bring charges against those officers. And the family's attorneys say that they'll take every legal avenue necessary in order to get justice. Destiny Patterson, WRAL News, Raleigh.
DA Freeman said she understands the family is grieving and wants access to information, but it could take months before a decision is made regarding charges for the officers. Another uneasy school day in the area after a vague social media threat led to stepped-up school security. Schools in Wake, Johnson, and Chatham counties were notified about the post on social media, and they responded accordingly. Several principals posted on social media, reminding people that there are serious consequences for making threats against a school.
And social media is our biggest. That's 95% of all the threats come through social media. So we encourage parents If you give your kids a phone, you sign them up on social media accounts, monitor those accounts.
The threat didn't name a specific community or school. Law enforcement in several states received reports of the threat today.
Late this afternoon, a judge decided to keep a woman in federal custody as she faces charges for helping her brother escape jail. Investigators say Adriana Marine Sotelo bought a car and arranged to leave it at the jail for her brother, Alder Marine Sotelo, to get away. An FBI investigator testified another member of the family knew the accused Wake deputy killer was trying to escape but did not feel comfortable helping him. The judge also in court today says that ties to Mexico make Adriana Marin Sotelo a flight risk, especially after her brother was found there. Meanwhile, we're working to learn when Alder Marin Sotelo will be extradited. He's charged in the murder of Wake County Deputy Ned Byrd. Marin Sotelo was on the run for 4 days before he was captured in Guerrero, Mexico yesterday. The Department of Justice and Office of International Affairs has taken over the case. The process could take some time to bring him back to the U.S.
Really, from this point, it becomes a matter of, legal work at this point between our government working with the government in Mexico and working through a host of legal steps until it can be decided that somebody can be extradited back to the United States.
The FBI would not comment on where he is being currently held.
A man is accused of assaulting a female in the Greenway at Lake Johnson Park in Raleigh. 30-year-old David Hoyle is charged with sexual battery. Police say they arrested him just before 9:30 this morning. The female victim was not seriously hurt. Now, police are reminding people if you use the Greenway, be aware of your surroundings. Walk or jog with a companion, and they also discourage the use of headphones. Taking a live look now at Dix Park through the WRL Live Can Network. On such a beautiful night, I'm surprised no one's out here. We've seen the forecast improve vastly in the last 24 hours. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now from the WRL Severe Weather Center. Kat, we still have a chance for rain, but not a washout by any means.
Not by any means. It's only a 20% chance for rain both days this weekend. Finally, a decent weekend coming up. We'll see if we break our streak of wet weekends, though, because by Sunday evening, late into the evening hours and nighttime hours, that's when we've got a 40% chance of rain and storms. If that arrives before midnight, we technically wouldn't break the streak, but we'll wait and see. Futurecast showing the reason why it's trending drier for the weekend. The rain steered farther to the south, so it's really South Carolina and Georgia that will see the bulk of the rain throughout the day tomorrow. We stay mostly dry for your Saturday. Certainly some good news. But what we'll be watching Sunday morning is this storm system to develop and then head our way a bit later on. I'll show that to you on Futurecast coming up.
All right, Kat, thank you. In less than an hour, the Carolina Hurricanes hit the ice in their second game against the New Jersey Devils in round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
And the Canes have home ice advantage at PNC Arena. That's where we find WRL's Chris Lee and Casey Hintz. Boy, guys, the atmosphere is just filled with excitement there.
Absolutely. You see it right here. It says raise up because everybody here is going to be very excited if they score goals. And you hear that Petey Pablo, and they're going to wave these all around today as people are going to be excited for game two. Hopefully the Canes go up 2-0.
Yeah, well, how they do that, well, you got to look back to game one. Now, everyone made a kind of a big deal about the Canes being the team that they were well rested. The Devils were the team that was coming off of that emotional Game 7 win. In fact, New Jersey head coach Lindy Ruff doubled down on that this morning. He said, yeah, it was a round one hangover for us. But I believe two things can be true. The way the Canes started was nothing out of the ordinary. That's exactly how they like to play their game. They're relentless on the forecheck. They take away time and space. I mean, we're talking about a Devils team here that has elite speed. They thrive on the rush. The Canes didn't limit all their chances. You never will, but they darn near did in the first period. They only allowed one shot on goal. Now, the guys told me this morning, we expect the Devils to come out much better than they did in game one, but Sebastian Aho said, look, I know it's cliche, but it really is all about us and just getting back to our game.
The Canes may have to go against rookie goalie Akira Schmid. Of course, they have a great history against rookie goalies. Let me take you back in time because the Canes are 3-0 in playoff series against teams with rookie goalies. So that's 06, Ryan Miller and the Sabres, Igor Shesterkin with the Rangers, and also Jeremy Swayman with the Bruins just last year. So what will happen tonight? Akira Schmid was taken out of the game early, of course, after the Canes went up 3-0 in the second period and on game one on Wednesday. So we'll have to see what happens tonight. He was in the starter's crease during practice this morning, but we don't know what will happen.
At times. Lindy Ruff taking a page out of Roddy B's book, playing coy. He said, I've got three good options. I'll go with one of them at game time.
We'll see what happens then.
Raise up. Yeah. All right. Come on, Canes. Casey Henson, Chris Lee, live at PNC. Thanks, guys. Yes. Go, Chris.
All right. Hey, we want to go back to that breaking news in Oxford. Mark Boyle's in the live center. Mark.
Gerald, we continue to follow that breaking news out of Oxford, Granville County. This is some video sent in from a viewer. You can see the large police scene here. This is just a couple of blocks away from the Granville Health System. And because of that, that hospital on lockdown right now at 710. The reason police are there is unclear. We are sending several crews and trying to get information from investigators on the scene. We'll be right back with this breaking news out of Oxford tonight.
Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
WRAL Investigates is learning more about a store owner in Raleigh charged with murdering a customer.
Police say Tasir Zarka stabbed a man to death inside Taz's convenience store a month ago. New tonight, Joe Fisher tells us this isn't Zarka's first run-in with the law.
Records from Raleigh police show that officers have showed up here to Taz's convenience store about 1,000 times over the last 5 years. This is a busy corner that is no stranger to crime. Last August, officers showed up for an assault in which the store owner was charged and later cleared. Now that store owner is charged with murder. The owner of Taz's convenience store, Tasir Zarka, remains in jail, charged with murder after a deadly stabbing inside the store April 6th. Police say he killed 27-year-old Mark Garrity. Witnesses say Zarka accused Garrity of stealing before pulling out a knife.
But you know, this is a sad case. It's a tragic case. And our heart certainly goes out to the victim's family.
Court records show Zarka was charged last August with misdemeanor assault with a deadly weapon. The charge was dismissed, and multiple sources tell WREL later expunged. State law restricts access to expunged case files, but Wake County District Attorney Lauren Freeman says the details could play a role in a future trial.
Certainly, the law allows for where there are what are known as prior bad acts or prior conduct that is substantially similar to the conduct in question. The law does allow the prosecution to bring that information to bear in a trial.
WREL Investigates went through RPD records showing 939 calls to Taz's supermarket since 2018, 279 security checks, 134 disturbances, 43 reports of suspicious people or activity, 42 assaults, 9 fights, 7 robberies, and more.
He has some altercations that go on in front of his store. I've even seen a guy pull out a gun in front of the store.
Many incidents happen on Wilmington Street outside the store. Some happen inside.
Local business owners in this area.
He just went ballistic.
Sean Jenkins is a business owner downtown and filed a complaint against Zarka after this verbal altercation in March. She says Zarka threatened her from behind the counter after a dispute over using a microwave.
I don't know who you think you're talking to.
In a minute,
and he said, well, get out of my store before I get you out of my store. I was so angry. I just felt very, very disrespected.
Jenkins is less worried about her case, focused on justice for the man who lost his life.
People lost a brother, a friend, a son, and, you know, it has to come to an end.
And the store does remain open. Zarka told us before his arrest that he did not feel like talking about the stabbing. The DA says this case should go before a grand jury in the next 30 days. I'm Joe Fisher, WREL News, Raleigh.
Here in the WREL Live Center, we have some new video within the past 15 minutes of that breaking situation down in Oxford, Granville County. Take a look right here. You can see how this situation is unfolding here. We saw officers at 7 o'clock kind of flood this area of Prospect Avenue near the Granville Health System. Now it looks like in this newer video, they're holding their pattern or their perimeter. And so it's right across the street from the Granville Health System is where officers have this neighborhood surrounded with police, sheriff's deputies, and state highway patrol investigators. If you live in the Oxford community and you live near that hospital system, you're likely to see a lot of this police activity. We don't know exactly what brought police out in the first place, but because of whatever's going on, the nature of this situation, the Granville Health System has put a lockdown in place. I called there around 6:45 and they confirmed that situation for us. So a lot happening here. We have Sky 5 on the way to the scene and crews on the way on the ground, which will take a little bit longer to get there, hopefully getting some information from investigators on the scene. 30 minutes away on Sky 14 minutes away from Sky 5, so we may have a live picture from them depending here by the end of the 7 o'clock newscast. We'll send things back to you as we get more details here in the Live Center.
Okay, Mark, we'll see you then. Thank you. Hey, did you see an unusual string of lights in the sky this last night? People send us video and pictures of this. It's bizarre if you look at it. These lights are actually a series of satellites from Starlink visible in the sky around 9:30 last night. These lights, they move in a cluster and help with internet connections and mobile communications around the world. SpaceX released the satellites yesterday from Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Meteorologist Kat Campbell with us now from WRAL Severe Weather Center. I didn't see them, Kat. Did you have a chance to see those last night?
I didn't see them last night, but I've seen them before from a previous launch, and it is really a cool sight to see. You know, it's always nice when you sit in the mountains and look up at the sky and you see a satellite go by. Just to see a string of them, sometimes that's more than 30 in a row go by, is a pretty cool sight to see. Taking a live look at Lake Gaston, this is a cool sight to see as well tonight. You can see some folks getting off their boat. The docks are packed at the Point Restaurant. It's just such a beautiful Friday evening. I think a lot of people are going to be headed out to the area lakes this weekend. We've got graduations happening as well tomorrow, 8 a.m. It's 57 degrees for NC Central's graduation, 62 for the 9 a.m. graduations, and Methodist, our latest graduation, 10 a.m. should be around 67 degrees by that time. The good news is for the graduates, we do not expect any rain tomorrow morning. You shouldn't need your umbrella. It looks really nice. And tomorrow's rain chance, as I mentioned off the top of the newscast, have decreased to 20%. The bulk of the rain stays south of our viewing area tomorrow, and that's great news for the folks that are headed to the Ham and Yam Festival in Smithfield. 62 at 9 a.m. by 1 o'clock, 76. 3 o'clock, 79 degrees. With the lower rain chances, temperatures are going to climb. 79 tomorrow, 81 on Sunday. Sunday is also a day that's mostly dry, just a 20% chance for rain. But by late Sunday evening into Sunday night, 8, 10 o'clock, we do have a 40% chance for rain. And it looks like that's going to end up being our best chance for rain all weekend. The bulk of the rain for now staying to our south. But once we get to Sunday, we'll watch for an area of rain to develop to our north, closer to the Ohio Valley, and that could be steered our direction a bit later in the day. Futurecast shows only a 20% chance for rain during the day, but we're going to be watching this system in the late afternoon, evening. We'll see a complex of storms push into Virginia. They arrive here later Sunday night, so they should dissipate some as they move into the area, but we can't rule out a rumble of thunder and some rain later Sunday. Tonight, not as cool as it was for the past several nights. Only Roxboro, South Hill, and Rocky Mount in the 40s. We're back in the 50s in the Triangle, 53 degrees in Fayetteville. And tomorrow, it's a beautiful day. It's mostly dry, luckily trending drier for your weekend. 77 in Roxboro and Rocky Mount, 79 in the Triangle, 81 degrees tomorrow in Fayetteville. And the heat's really coming back as we head into next week. 88 Monday and Tuesday, and a little bit more humid. That means the heat index likely to be closer to 90 degrees those days. We do have a chance for rain mainly late into Monday night and late into Tuesday night. It seems like it's the nighttime hours when we have the better rain chances by the end of the weekend and early next week. And then we do see some cooler and drier air move in toward the end of the week. High temperatures in the upper 70s, and that's closer to normal for this time of year. Mm-hmm. Our average first 90 degree day of the year is May 12th. It'll be here before we know it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's that time of year. Thank you, Kat.
North Carolina's natural beauty is on display in a new stamp collection. When you can order them, coming up.
A I was able to get the chief of police on the phone down in Oxford, and she does confirm for us an Oxford police officer has been shot. This is just a couple of blocks away from the Granville Health System there off of Prospect Avenue. She says they have a barricaded subject, somebody inside a home who's refusing to come out, and one of her officers has been shot. So a very large scene there unfolding in Oxford, Granville County right now. The sheriff also confirming that for us. If you live in this area, this scene is going to be extremely active for quite some time, especially given the nature of it now with an officer shot. That hospital was put on lockdown originally because they didn't know exactly what the situation was as they were arriving. That could change or be lifted shortly. But as of right now, at last check, Granville Health System there in Oxford near Prospect Avenue is on lockdown because of that police activity breaking right now at 7:25. We have several crews on the way to the scene. We should have another vantage point coming up here soon. Back to you.
And we'll stay on top of that on WRL TV here, Mark, and of course, WRL.com. Thank you. North Carolina's nature is front and center on a new U.S. stamp.
The Postal Service is celebrating the beauty of waterfalls across the country with 12 new stamps, and the one on the bottom right features one here in North Carolina. That's Upper Falls along the Blue Ridge Parkway. The photo is by Tim Fitzharris. The new stamps will be released June 13th. Downtown Cary may be the last place you would expect to find a miniature redwood forest.
But tucked away behind Town Hall is a secret world of dawn redwoods with fluted trunks and rippling roots, striking red against a hillside curtain of green ivy. Now, this is one of the largest groves of these endangered trees in North Carolina. You want to visit these redwoods or some of the other larger redwood trees around the area? We have the full story and locations on WREL.com.
Boy, it does look so out of place, doesn't
yeah, right.
it? Right in downtown Cary. Thanks so much for making WREL your choice for local news.
We'll, of course, be following that story out of Oxford on our news at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 here on WREL. Have a great night.
Watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.